From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Got his camera there. It was my fault. I did not tell him for the second day. We look a little differently because of my camera being shot. I honestly forgot since last time we were in studio, but I will remedy that here before the next time. So again, you're getting Neil in HD. You're getting me with a little bit of a yellow tint if you're in the live stream, but it is what it is. We'll get through the show all together because like the family that we are. So we'll discuss no fall camp today. We'll talk about that a little bit, or whatever you want to call it.
There will be no fall camp.
The Big Ten schedule, we were hoping for some SEC news today, but that appears to be at least not out yet. It's 2:06 p.m. on this Wednesday as we hit the record button, so we'll see if something pops while we are here online. Hello, Jay Tate, hanging out in our live stream, I see, as we're starting the show today. So that and more coming up on the program, brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. All Blue Sky locations in Mississippi, including the Oxford Exxon, use the SpeedPass Plus app. It's the safest way to fill up. They're right there at the pump. You don't have to touch anything. You can fill up on the app, pay, and be on your way. Also, they give you protective plastic now when you are grabbing the pump to fill up. So use all those things, again, at all Blue Sky locations, including the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you are looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is completely up to you. You can shop that quote around, or you can do what I've done, what I suggest that you do, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today. You'll absolutely love the service. Saw that just today. Laura's car needed to be serviced, got it done. They came and got it, took it to Amory Service, that brought it back. You don't get that service everywhere. You get it at Clark Ford because they want to be your car guy, they want to be your truck guy, and they'll prove it to you. 662-257-1900. Guest, join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters on the Water is open. It's at the Sardis Marina. Basically, it's a big party. Starts on Wednesdays, goes through Sundays. 3:30 to 10 Wednesdays and Thursdays. 11 to 10 Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Live music, burgers, catfish, shrimp, po' boys, appetizers, drink specials, margaritas. They've got to go and curbside available as well. So it's all there at Rafters on the Water in Sardis.
Reading here on Twitter that Will Muschamp has announced that two South Carolina players have opted out of the season. To this point, we're not aware of any Ole Miss players, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
Right. It's getting a little more widespread, and you knew it would happen some.
Sure.
It's a different situation, but you knew it would happen some when the NFL players started doing it a little more in mass and it becoming a thing, because, I mean, there's a trickle-down with a lot of issues similar to that. So it doesn't shock me, but the college players are on a bit of a clock. It's a little different than just not having your NFL contract a little bit for a year. So it's there's a different repercussion there for a college player who chooses to do so.
Well, they're demanding a lot of things right now, and the NCAA came down kind of on their side today, which is what you'd expect. We always tell you guys this thing's a seesaw. Today's not the happy side of the seesaw.
You don't feel good about it today?
I don't feel terrible. I don't feel great. Some rumblings about the Big Ten. There were actually a surprise in some camps that the Big Ten released a schedule today, because there were some rumblings last night that the Big Ten might just punt.
Yeah, I told you, I saw a column, I believe it was in the Omaha paper, from one of their columnists talking about how at least one of the options was to not have the season and to kill the season. Now, they said, look, they could announce the schedule today and we'll see where it goes, but that was at least one of the options that had been discussed during a meeting with ADs, presidents, whomever, over the course of the last 48 hours. And yes, they appear to, frankly, even more than the Pac-12 to this point, be rattled or unsure which way to go following the demands that have been put forth by a lot of Big Ten players. Did I read it was 1,000? Am I hyperbolic on that?
No, you're 1,000 players in the Players Tribune today.
1,000. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
So how do you get 1,000 people to get together on that?
Well, you do it individually. You've got how many programs are in the Big Ten?
Do they have 14 or do they have 12?
I don't know. More than 10.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you can't do that anymore because the Big 12 has like 9 and the Big 10 has 12 or 14.
I mean, if you have 14 teams and 70 players a team, sign something. Say, yep, yeah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Then they have like a treasurer or a secretary, compiles it all, puts it together.
I don't know. Can you do that?
I don't know. I'm asking. They didn't ask for 52% today, though, right?
No.
We took they had a hand raised guy that went, hey, okay, we can ask for this, and this, but let's leave the 52% out. That becomes a problem for a lot of people when we do that. So what is the Big Ten upset about? What's disturbing them as far
money.
As which part of this? Just money?
It's money. Like Maryland announced earlier today, one of these days I'm going to get a little more organized. I thought that the SEC schedule was coming out today.
Yeah.
It still might.
We were waiting with the hope of that.
Well, I'd heard a specific time.
Which has passed.
And then I heard another time, which has now passed. What I'm told is that it's likely that the SEC is going to release a list of opponents that are going to be on the schedule, but not the actual schedule. That's coming later. Which, quite frankly, is a little disconcerting to me, if I'm honest. Tells me that everybody's not feeling great right now. That's what it tells me. I could be wrong. But here's the thing. Well, I've talked to some people today who've said what the NCAA is doing is just making it very difficult for teams to get to the starting line. The Big Ten wants a third party overseeing all of the COVID stuff.
The Pac-12 asked for something similar to that.
Which is not a terrible idea. But today's August the 5th. By the way, happy birthday to Rizzo the dog. He turned 3 today.
Really?
Rizzo's 3.
How old's Gus?
Gus is 5.
He had Gus 2 years? Okay.
Yep.
Gus is still a little more swelled, right? He's still down some weight now.
Gus looks good.
Because he was getting a little chunky there for a while.
Well, the vet said to Laura that you are loving him to death.
Literally.
And so Gus is on a little different kind of a diet. Gus is proof for all of us.
He's handling it well.
If we'll cut back on what we eat and exercise more, that
he's dropped some pounds.
You'll trim that waist. Oh, he's dropped
30. I mean, Rizzo's still a better looking dog. Just genetically, Rizzo.
They're just right across the wall right now. Yeah, Gus.
Rizzo's a handsome canine now.
Rizzo's a good looking fella.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing because his elevator does not go all the way to the top.
He's not the smarter one.
He's not.
He greets me every day, though.
He does. He's very friendly.
Yeah.
Very, very. He wants everybody to see
him. We've only had one person come in that didn't like him. So, I mean, it's Neil judged, by the way. It was like, look, if you got a problem with a lab, like, it's on you.
Yeah,
it's not the lab's fault.
And if you have a problem with that lab, something's wrong.
But Rizzo would, like, back up from him. He would back up.
He's the only human I've ever seen Rizzo the dog look at and go, I don't know, man.
He would like backpedal. You can see him, like, he kind of does this little backpedal thing when he would come in.
Yeah. And Rizzo's seen young and old, white and black, male and female, big and small.
He handles strangers fine?
Yeah.
It was not Jay, no.
No, he liked Jay.
It was an employee of our website.
But he saw him and he was like, I don't know. Literally,
and it was mutual. Neither one of them wanted to be around the other one. Because if you see a black lab, it's really hard to not pet him. Like, yeah. There's something.
Well,
like,
especially just, that kind of a
just
black
reach
lab.
Down, yeah. Scratch him on the ear, and he'll rub your leg and move on.
No, my dog's like Jay. Wasn't Jay?
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to get Avery. So what am I getting Rizzo for his birthday? I got to go do that this afternoon. Getting him a cookie and one of those marrow bones that they like so much. Yeah.
Gumbo likes the antlers. He's big on the antlers. the little bone, like Hollywood Feed, I believe, is the place to get those.
Yep.
So, the stream looks like it's pretty strong. Somebody said it's ending for them in the live stream, but I'm getting pretty good numbers as I'm doing it here. I don't know where we were, but we started talking about dogs. I will say this: UConn is not having a football season.
Yes.
Ole Miss obviously was supposed to play them at one point. That wasn't going to happen once the SEC went 10-0. This has no, and Heather Dinnert, to her credit, said this on Fine Bomb a couple minutes ago. This has zero to do from a snowball effect or what any other conference, any other team would be doing at that point whatsoever. Yeah, people would say we're dropping, but I'm not getting bad numbers at all. I'm staying around 2,700 without issue. So I don't know.
Yeah, mine's.
And Jay said he was fine.
Mine seems to be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, it has no bearing on anything whatsoever. None. It's something where UConn has no money. UConn has gone independent for football. They have lost at least six games. It's a deal where they are fully, frankly, incapable of having a season as an institution right now. That's why it happened. It had zero to do as far as, oh, you better look out, this FBS team or this conference or whatever. Mm. You cannot put anything. You can put less on it even than the less that was put on the Ivy League canceling and nobody else canceling.
Well, they lost $40-something million with football last year without a pandemic. They were headed in the wrong direction. So I don't put anything on that.
Well, they had to play Ole Miss where they got no money. They just needed a game. They couldn't even find games. Like I said, Ole Miss was paying Middle Tennessee $1.5 million to play UConn.
Yeah, I will tell people, I think there is a possibility that it's a YouTube thing. Because our numbers tell us that the signal's fine. Anyway, Maryland today said, hey, we're not going to do season tickets because if we play, we'll start with no fans.
That's because of an executive order in Maryland?
I think so.
Okay. We've had that in New Jersey now, too, because Rutgers has the same thing, right? Because that also applied to Giants, Jets.
Yes.
And other things as well.
And I can tell you that there's just a lot of people that are hearing these things in some of these Big Ten deals, and they're saying, so between the COVID stuff and the player demands, frankly, is this worth it? Is this worth it? If you can't have people come to your games and you have to deal with these demands, this is where the players have to be a little careful. Because here's the thing. We do this leverage thing all the time, right? I got my full bottle of leverage here. The COVID thing gives you leverage. The COVID thing also cuts from your leverage. You have to thread a needle. And they're not doing it because Their philosophy right now, the players, is just hammer. There's no nuance.
Very little subtlety.
Just hammer, going for the kill. And I'm going to tell you, at some leagues not called the SEC, there are people on these campuses at Ole Miss, and believe me, these people exist on every campus, who say, is it possible that just maybe we've made this too important? Is it possible that just maybe this isn't what student athletes were supposed to be? This isn't what intercollegiate athletics were supposed to be? Is it possible that just maybe this is an opportunity to hit the reset button? I'm not, for the record, I'm not saying that's right.
And in the SEC, the problem is you have a $45 million television contract.
I understand that. But there are people at some of these places who say, but in reality, when the Purdue fan who went to Purdue turns on the Purdue game to watch Purdue play Illinois on the Big Ten Network, does he really care about the quality of the football, or is he watching the uniform?
Oh, there's an argument to be made that if every team in the country went two ticks down on talent level, none of us would really notice may not be the right word, but we wouldn't go, oh my God, we're not going to follow college football anymore.
Okay. Right.
And just
that's kind of my point.
Now everybody's got to go down together, or then we got some parent issues and different stuff. But
and I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm not. I'm just saying there's people that are pushing back a little. You can overextend your request. It's the housing deal. You're wanting to sell a house. You're wanting to buy someone's house. They're asking, for the sake of this conversation, they're asking $500,000. You're thinking, you know what, I'm willing to pay about $440,000, but not $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
If your first offer is, I'll give you $20 and a bologna sandwich, you're never going to get there. If your first offer is, you know, $440,000 is not the right number. Let's say you're willing to pay $470,000, and you come in at $450,000, and they're desperate enough to get it done, they need to move. You know, you might end up having to pay $475, $480, but you'll get it. You can get there because there's a feeling of, well, you know, we're playing some games here, but at the end of the day, there's good faith. If there's no sense of there's good faith, at some point you walk away and go, hey, you know what? Good luck finding a house.
Well, it was the reason we keep coming back to it and why it was so dumb on the Pac-12 part, because, yeah, when you go, hey, we are not negotiating, we're not doing anything, but we want this demands, but hey, we want 52%, we want it now. Well, the whole thing breaks down. You go,
yes.
Even if I wanted to do that for you, it is impossible. That is legislation that could not be passed in a way to make that happen, period.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
It can't be done. And then you're asking for that in the midst. To my point, you're asking for that in the midst of a COVID situation where the odds are Cal, which is losing money hand over fist anyway, pre-pandemic, they've got the bad deal with Under Armour. They've got the whole deal, right? Mm-hmm. You're asking Cal, hey, and do this, by the way, knowing that you won't be able to put fans in the stands. At which point Cal goes, is it really worth it? How many people are coming here because we play in the Pac-12? How many people are coming here because we're renowned as an academic institution? But people say, why don't they just pay for it out of their endowment? And that's where the institutions go, you don't understand. Endowments
not
are
the
not
way that works.
For sports. That's not how it works. That's not the rules.
And there are very strict rules.
Strict rules, yes.
Yeah. We had that conversation when I had Hunter on the podcast like 6 weeks ago, whenever it was. It was... Yeah, no, that's not really how that grabs.
So that's where we are. And I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. I don't know how it's going to kind of go down.
Yeah, I mean, we'll close this in a minute with the segment, but Cal, I mentioned this to Neil. He might have had this up. I don't know if he was quoting from it or not. Sportico did a story on Cal football either last night or this morning. I don't know. I saw it this morning when I got up. And it's talking about, can they survive a season at all without football from a program standpoint? And reading here says, college football, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Cal is losing its partners. Under Armour is trying to back out of its $86 million contract. Under Armour's a disaster right now. Is also all the athlete activism, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking for the part that matters. Okay, it's a financial minefield. In the 4 years before COVID-19 disrupted college sports, Cal's athletic department ran a combined $75.8 million deficit. With tensions already high on campus about resources given to athletics, the Golden Bears may be the poster child for how the pandemic could change the financing of big-time college sports. They have a graph here of the schools that have had the largest athletics-related debt. Cal's at $438 million in athletic debt right now. Illinois at $323 million is second. So Cal has over $100 million more athletic debt than the next school on the list. A&M's got $322, but A&M's got enough money in the bank to figure it out. Some of these schools, like Cal, just does not have that.
Texas A&M has $322 million of athletic debt?
That is correct, yes.
Stadium related, I assume?
I would guess. Michigan, $300. Minnesota, $252. Ohio State, $250. Washington, $244. Colorado State, $238. That sounds dangerous. Georgia Tech, $231. And then LSU, $229. The thing is, there's a lot more incoming at some of these places than some of these other ones.
So the Big Ten players' proposal today.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to answer your question about why the Big Ten's a little nervous right now. The Big Ten players' proposal calls for 3 COVID tests per week in season, banning the use of COVID-19 liability waivers, and an automatic medical red shirt for any player who misses a competition because of a positive test or mandatory quarantine.
One miss and red shirt.
Yep.
Hmm.
In terms of finances, the group asked for reimbursements for stipends that were reduced during the summer.
Okay.
Remember we talked about this back in the summer. It was an issue.
Yeah, sure.
Complimentary access to the Big Ten Network for athletes' family members.
Hang on, what?
Complimentary access to the Big Ten Network for athletes' family members.
Okay.
See, you say okay, and I say okay, but the NCAA says that's a benefit. I know. And so you can't get anywhere. You can't get anywhere. So the Big Ten goes, we'd give you the network. We'd all give you a password, but they say we can't.
Wells. And the testing's like really precise, right?
They want everybody tested.
Day of.
So here's, including day of with results known 2 hours before competition.
With less than 5% negativity rate, which is frankly not impossible.
So here's the deal. The schools look at this and go, how much is the testing going to cost? A lot.
A lot.
If it leads to us not being able to play and not fulfilling our contract, and it looks more and more like we're not going to be able to get to the finish line, are we better off just shutting it down? Shuttering it? Because the players, one of the things they're asking for, this is one of the reasons the Big Ten, I think they're looking at this today and going, is it worth it? The players will say, oh, and if you shut the schedule down, we still get our stipends, we still get our all that, we get all this stuff.
Well, see, that's where I'm going in a second. Yeah, that's where,
and so the Big Ten looks at this and goes, hold up. We might not be able to have fans. If we do this level of testing, and before anybody jumps on me, I get it. But if we're going to have to test everybody 3 times a week and end up canceling stuff left and right and perhaps not being able to get to the finish line, we're going to spend all of this money to get to the starting line knowing that the finish line is damn near impossible. I've used my marathon example. This is the guy that gets to the marathon and he has a broken leg. Hey, I'm going to run today. No, you're not. You're not going to make it. Why are you doing this? This is stupid. So if the Big Ten goes, we have a broken leg, we're not going to run this marathon. We're going to go rest. We're done. I'm telling you, man, I got real questions, and the players are asking for all of this stuff, and they're asking for it right now. It's not, hey, let's have a discussion. It's, we want this or we'll boycott. And we've got 1,000 signatures. Well, that's basically the league.
All right. After the break, we'll tease it there. I got a couple different thoughts on it. First, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting, understands your market, a leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market, for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We're also brought to you by Bain, Moss, and Bowen, PLLC. It's a law firm that is located in historic downtown Corinth, Mississippi, and their firm practices a wider range of law from DUI defense to car wrecks to representing government entities. Bain, Moss, and Bowen is the only firm in Mississippi made up of a sitting state legislator, a former assistant district attorney, and a former circuit court judge. Their experience is unmatched in that regard, and you can tap into it by visiting them at 618 East Waldron Street in Corinth or by calling them at 662-287-1620. We're also brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. Also brought to you by Bluff City Advisory Group, dedicated to building the future you desire. Founded in Memphis in 2019, their team is comprised of established and seasoned financial experts who came together to serve individuals and families of their beloved hometown. Bluff City values providing quality advice, experience, and access to all their clients, and they invite an open dialogue beyond your annual review. They believe that everyone deserves financial security, so no matter your level of wealth or financial goal, they will serve as an advocate and a guide to grow a portfolio that is fruitful and sustainable for you. 901-365-3447 or email Ben, that's B-E-N, at bluffcityadvisory.com.
So the NCAA Board of Governors says that the name, image, likeness debate, the Division I Council introduced legislation into the cycle by November 1st, and they think they will vote on it in January. So that is where that update is for name, image, and likeness. Something that, for the most part, everybody can get behind. Nobody's really complaining about that whatsoever. We've moved on, and I think there's pretty universal support for that. Also, an update, just as we have this conversation, about what would happen right now. SEC, 10 conference games, no non-cons. Big Ten, same thing. ACC is doing the 10 plus 1, also, although they don't have the one scheduled yet, pretty much across the board, so that's a little bit of an issue. Big 12 is doing 9 plus 1 as of right now, also starting completely on time, like September 5th.
September 5th, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pac-12, 10 plus 0, like they see in the Big Ten. And then the AAC, the American and the Sun Belt, are holding out all hope in the world, trying to do 8 plus 4 with a normal start date. So that would be a regular season in those two conferences, if it can happen. As of right now, the American is kicking off August 29th, the SEC September 26th, Big Ten September 3rd, ACC week of the 7th, Pac-12 the 26th, and then the Big 12 has not announced their start date to this point. And I was going to say is, yeah, look, I get it. I get a team or a school basically going, hey, let's just not do it, or let's just not do it. But here's the problem. Like you said, no matter what happens as far as a season or not a season, the players are still going to want their stipends, as you mentioned.
Yep.
The scholarships are still going to be owed because they're going to pay them.
Yep. NCAA mandated that today.
The coaching salaries are still owed. It's contractual.
Yep.
They're paid. And all debt services are still owed. I mean, it's like when we talked about cutting sports, if that came to be anywhere. If you owe money on the building, you still owe money on the building. That doesn't just go away because whatever. So my point being, yeah, look, there's a lot of stuff going on here, but you still owe a lot. And now your incoming goes to almost zero other than licensing. You know what I mean? Like, you're cutting everything out at that point.
Well, that's for the Pac-12. They're talking about doing a loan for all their athletic. I mean, how does that work?
And how are you paying it back?
Painfully, slowly.
I wouldn't want to have to set up that note. Because can you trust these athletic departments to cut their budgets by $20 million to pay it back?
Well, I'll tell you what's coming. What's coming is a reset on coaches' salaries.
You say that. Look,
that was agreed to back before. Sarkisian got bumped to 2.5 or 2.8 or whatever as the OC at Alabama. I'm just telling you, moving forward, you're going to see a reset. The money's not there. It's like baseball. I was reading a Major League Baseball thing today about players that were going to be free agents this year. They're going to sign small one-year deals because they're going to have to wait and see if the financial reset happens where they can cash in like they thought they would. There's no fans in the stands, Chase. There's no fans in the stands. That's money. Anybody can kid themselves. If Alabama can't put fans in the stands, they lose $75 million. Wisconsin, if they have no fans in the stands announced today, they'll lose $100 million.
Saw that.
$100 million. Hey, athletic department, AD, CFOs, y'all get together and figure out how do we make up for $100 million. Go.
I don't really understand how, but I'll take their word for it. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, you have the seat licenses, and you have the suites, and you have all this stuff, and parking, and you're charging a gazillion dollars for a Coke, and you're charging a gazillion dollars for a T-shirt for little Johnny.
Because if they've got...
All of those revenue streams disappear.
Let's just do some math.
Or will they have a 90,000-seat stadium?
I think, say, 35 to 45 lost in ticket sales is my guess. Something like that.
Yeah.
Because the most Ole Miss has ever made off tickets in a year from a season ticket standpoint is like $20 million, I think. And that's in 60,000 seats.
Yeah.
So just do some quick math there.
So... Imagine Michigan.
35, 40, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
you're used to putting 105 in your stadium. It was already hard. But you don't have the suites. You just lose all these revenue streams. You replace profitable revenue streams with zeros. How's that work? and the way that the political climate is right now, I mean, are you confident that by mid-October we're going to have stadiums half full?
No.
I mean, I'm not.
No.
I mean, look, I don't want to get my kid in trouble here, but
what are you doing?
I'm gonna read you something.
Okay. From what?
So my son plays soccer, club soccer. Okay. They practice Mondays and Wednesdays and Sundays. Got a thing today from the coach, who's a really good coach. I like him a lot. He's really good to the kids. No nonsense kind of guy. I like him. He says all players and parents need to strictly follow Oxford social distancing rules. We're now under close observation at M-Trade Park. Could be shut down for 2 to 4 weeks if we're not very careful. Parents must wear masks and help keep 6 feet of separation. All players must keep 6 feet of separation during all water breaks and while entering and leaving the field. In other words, man, here's what you got, Chase. Let's keep this real. We got parents out at a youth soccer practices watching other parents pissed off. Because what you've got, and everybody can get mad at me, I don't care. Here comes a little, what do you call it, rampage. It's not even a rampage. I'm just telling you the way it is. You've got people that are like, my kid's not going to school because I'm scared to death. And I don't want your ass going to school either because I know deep down, I know they're going to get ahead. Deep down, I know in-person school is better than virtual school. So I want everybody to pull back. And so I'm going to sit out here and I'm going to watch this and I'm going to bitch and moan. That's going to happen. If that's happening at a youth league soccer level, imagine what's happening at the college football level where you have lots of people who want this to fail. You can't ask these schools to enforce social distancing rules in stadiums, Chase. It's not possible.
No, it's not.
It's not possible.
Which is why there's no tailgating, because you can't let them, even if you let a certain number in, they still congregate in piles. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You're not staying away. Like, it just doesn't.
So it's not possible. So the choice that they're given is, well, from a liability standpoint, their attorneys tell them, from a liability standpoint, you damn well better. You better make it look like you're doing everything you can. And at some point, the attorneys say, just don't do it. Just don't let them in. And if you're Ole Miss and you go, hey, we're going to play football this year, but we can't have any fans in the stands, and we have to add all of these testing protocols to what we're doing. At some point, and I don't know what this point is, but at some point people have the conversation where they go, is it worth it? Is it worth it? To this point, I think the answer is yes. But there does come a point where the debts pile up to a place and the risk lines up to a place where you go, it's kind of no longer worth it.
So what do you think happens on the negotiations, on the request, whatever, from the Pac-12 and the Big Ten? Because to me, it feels like they're going to get a couple things and then they're going to back off.
I don't know.
If you told me just to guess today, at the end of the day, I think most players want to play.
That was my question. Do they want to
play? If they want to play, they play. They get a little bit and go, okay, we kind of won, and we'll move on with their day.
Because right now, the NCAA has made it where if let's – Johnny Jones, wide receiver at Auburn, says, I don't want to play. I don't feel comfortable. I'm not going to play. He's not punished. He keeps his spot on the roster. Scholarship's paid for. His stipend's paid for. Everything's paid for. And he gets to come back. And I don't know about the whole eligibility thing. Sure. That's a different – that might be where, you know, in this case, Auburn would be like, look, Johnny, we don't make these rules, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have to appeal that. We'll support your appeal, but we can't – we, Auburn University
– grant the year back.
Can't grant you a sixth year. The NCAA can. We can't. We can file it on your behalf, but you're not going to be able to come after us on that, bud, because I can't make that happen. And that's where I do think there's a disconnect. I don't.
What's the disconnect? Why? Because it went to the Pac-12. So again, from the very start of the podcast, so many of these things are NCAA legislation and mandates. The conference can't do it if they wanted to. Okay, like especially the Pac-12. Like we said, I mean, whew.
But I mean, you telling me that you're gonna get a bunch of 13-year-old boys to socially distance during a water break?
No, not likely.
Could they go talk to one another? crazy, man. And some of you people, I mean, no offense, but you're nuts. I mean, you're nuts. Like, God bless you, you're nuts. I mean, there's some people, man, I don't know how the hell they get out of the bed in the morning. Because, I mean, you might have a wreck that day. There might be a snake on the ground. You might break a glass. Cut yourself. Might sprain your ankle walking down the driveway. I don't know how they leave. Sorry.
Oh, you're good. I've had this up to talk about it again. We mentioned fall camp in the beginning of the show. We know that they plan on starting the season September 26th for the SEC. The original start date September 5th. Would have allowed for a preseason football practice to begin August 7th. And they revised football calendar. Schools are permitted to conduct up to 14 hours per week of strength and conditioning, meetings, and walkthroughs from August 7th to August 16th. So, again, nowhere near traditional, not on the same schedule as it was. Strength conditioning, meetings, walkthroughs, all those counting toward a maximum of 14 hours per week. Neil and I were talking about this morning. I do think that will be more closely monitored than in years past, and we kind of wink-wink and laughed about it. Probably not the case. Beginning August 17th and until the opening game, schools are allowed 25 practices with a limit of 20 hours per week of practice time. That's pretty standard. A five-day acclimation period is required with 2 days in helmets only, 2 days in shells, and the fifth day in full pad. So August 17th will be when
that's a Monday. That's a Monday, and that's when they'll start. I was a little surprised they started it on a Monday, because doesn't the week typically start on Sunday? It's Sunday through Saturday.
Typically, that is correct. Yes.
I wonder if they end up fixing that. Anyways, regardless, for the preseason, I think I stand corrected, Chase. They said they were going to reset it once they got within in game week, but for these weeks leading up to game week,
okay.
It's Monday through Sunday.
Okay.
You have two mandatory days off. And I'm going to tell you, right now, in this environment, you just touched it. You're exactly right. This is not the time to go 40 hours.
Just think about the rules.
You might want to be careful.
Yeah.
So what does that mean from a preparation standpoint? Will you lose all of the benefits of a fall camp? Where you have those weeks where you can really... 60-hour weeks, basically. Lots of meetings, lots of walkthroughs, big practices. They're basically there all day. They go home at the end of the day just to grab some sleep, and they're back early in the morning. Meetings, walkthrough, more meetings, lunch, meetings, practice, dinner, meetings, go home.
Mm-hmm.
That's over.
There's no reason to either. Even beyond all that, there's just no reason.
Well, this is not the year that you want everybody in the building all day. This is the year that you want to do as little of it as you can. Again, if there is a season, this is not the season that matters from a competitive standpoint. By the way, I won't name names because I'm probably not supposed to here, but one of the people that I was talking to said he heard the call was, quote, rocky, end quote. And someone else said that there's nothing's going to be released today. They're still trying to achieve balance. I don't know whether that means competitive balance or whether that means they're just trying to gain their equilibrium. So nothing today. And I can tell you that it's my understanding that the anticipation was that a schedule was getting released from the call today, and it didn't happen.
Are they really fighting that much about competitive balance with the stupid schedule?
I don't know.
Some teams out there.
I don't know.
I frankly wouldn't even admit it. That's what we're doing.
It tells me that they're not even talking about that much, that we're concerned about some other things right now.
Just
what are the rules on, you know, how many positive tests lead to a shutdown? What does a shutdown look like? Like I saw today, one of the questions that I have, I want to get Dr. Mike on because I'm kind of curious about this. If you test negative, let's say okay, the way that the rule works now, you and me are now playing football for, who do you want to play for?
I'm playing college football.
You and me are playing on the same college football team. Who you want to play for?
We'll stick with Northwestern. We started with them this morning.
We're playing for Northwestern. And you get, you test positive for COVID. Okay.
Yep.
you're an offensive lineman, I'm a defensive lineman, I've been going against you in practice, we've had collisions.
Sure.
Okay? Because of the protocols, I'm now, because I was in contact with you, because you went to that stupid party looking for the salsa girl, because I was in contact with you, I'm in quarantine for 14 days. So let's say 5 days into that quarantine, I've been testing, and 5 days in, I still don't have it. I'm negative. I still, according to the current protocols, have to sit another 9 days. So I'm going to miss 2 games because of your reckless behavior. A lot of the schools are like, wait, but why? I get 5, 6, 7 days, but if we get negative, at some point it becomes obvious that he didn't get it, right? Neil didn't get it from Chase, so let him go play. I mean, he's an all Big Ten defensive end, and we need his ass out there. That's where no one can get on the same page on this. And where some of the schools are saying, but if we're going to do that, if we were to, God forbid, have a breakout, like look at the Cardinals right now. Like they announced today, it's like 7 dudes are on the injured list. And we don't have a taxi squad to call from. So how does this work?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a 14-day shutdown throughout the league? Because that won't work.
What was Lane Kiffin's worry? That Zoom call we had with him, God, almost 2 months ago. Maybe, I don't know at this point. It's been a while. And he said, yeah, what if all your defensive backs have to go into quarantine together? Who plays defensive back? I mean, there was no answer. It was just like, well, who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, believe it or not, I actually think he will handle this really well. He kind of gets it, believe it or not. I mean, I know his reputation on Twitter is whatever, but I think what you'll see with them is short practices, distanced practices, Zoom meetings, and an understanding that, hey, we're not going to be this year what I want us to be. This is a different deal.
Mm-hmm.
But do you trust all 14 programs in the SEC to do that? I don't.
Not even a little bit. No.
I don't know that it's in the DNA of some of the people.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't want to name names, but I can think of 5 coaches off the very top of my head that I can't see them able to pull that off.
Yeah. Tell you about Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy. To find out more about G&M, 662-236-2222. Now offer their immune support med packs at both locations, Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs and G&M there on South Lamar in Oxford. Pharmacists developed a combination of vitamins and supplements specifically designed to boost your immune system and lung health. 30-day supply of vitamin C, zinc, NAC, probiotic, and vitamin D3, which all work together to help many different things, including lung health, GI regulation, immune regulation, and more. They believe it's the best combination of over-the-counter supplements to prepare your body for dangerous viruses. So stop by today, or again, 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with a personal touch. They also have a commercial checking account now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. Comes with fully interactive online banking. They can set up any local business to deposit checks from their office and not have to worry with coming to the bank daily to deposit those checks. Do you want to learn more? You can. Go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. We're also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. At the end of all this, and it will end, sources tell me that it will eventually end. When it does, you're going to want to get the hell away. You're going to want to go take a trip that you'll probably talk about for a long time, a celebration trip, a relief trip, just a get the hell out of here trip. You want it to be one that creates a lifetime of unique memories, and I would suggest that you get in touch with John. He knows what's open. He knows where the deals are. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners. Allows him to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits simply not available to other travelers. Just get in touch with him. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. 901-494-3387 or send him an email. jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust is home to the Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services Team. When you work with Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services, you gain a valuable advisory team and time-saving resource that will help you develop and maintain a solid strategy for your retirement plan. They're committed to providing you with the personalized attention and involvement that you want and need. Their goal is to help you manage your 401k plan properly and ultimately improve your employees' retirement readiness. Tell the people at Pinnacle Trust that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fees. It's pintrust.com. That's pintrust.com.
So you and I discussed it a little bit earlier about sporting events on television to this point. You know, it's funny because everybody was talking about, hey, if we get them back, I don't care what they look like, we're going to watch. We're obsessed. No matter what's on, if it's marble racing, we're all in.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily been the case. There has been a, for multiple reasons probably, there have not been this ratings boost that everybody thought, hey, the entire country is watching all these NBA games, NHL games, whatever it is that we're watching at this point. You think the fans or lack thereof or the way the environments are around have contributed to this pretty greatly, depending on what the sport is, right?
I think so.
Because I brought it up to you, and again, I mean, I know I steer a lot of stuff to golf, but the PGA Tour wasn't a major. It was just the WGC in Memphis over the weekend.
Yeah.
It beat the NBA on every game other than Lakers-Clippers. Whatever yeah. night that was, Thursday night. And I get it's on network, but even the ratios, it won yeah. over every other game.
And Lakers-Clippers was first night, wasn't it?
I believe that was the first game, yes.
You know, I try not to pay attention to first games because you're always going to get a first game bump. Like even when golf first came back and, you know, they came back with like the Tiger, Phil Brady Manning thing.
Yeah, sure.
I kind of dismissed that a little bit from a rating standpoint. It was cool. I watched it some. It was fun. But it was such a novelty. And you're like, yeah, it was one of the first sports things back that, do you know what I mean, Chase? I was like, okay, yeah, that got big ratings, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting and it's noteworthy that a sport that right now doesn't, and Tiger Woods hasn't been playing. He didn't play in Memphis, correct?
He did not. He has not played since the restart.
They're getting big numbers.
They did a 3.4 on Sunday,
which is a really big number. And I don't know whether it's the social justice thing because they're just kind of staying out of it. They're just playing golf. I don't know if it's because golf looks like golf.
I do think there is something to golf looking like golf. It's the one sport where, for the most part, you're not having to adjust anything in your perception compared to the way it was before that. The NBA's done a pretty good job of, like we were watching here the other night, of staying very tight on the cameras, on not doing some of the things that would make it look worse, kind of like hockey has struggled with to this extent. Baseball has been weirder than I would have thought. It doesn't bother me because I just like the game if I'm watching and I can yep. kind of get around it. But for the average fan or the person who's not necessarily obsessed about why every pitch and where every occasion's going as it is, I could see why baseball would be the most aesthetically difficult sport to this point to watch. I think that could easily be a struggle because of the cardboard backdrops, because of all the empty seats and just kind of the stuff around it.
I told you last night it was weird, so I was watching the Cubs and Royals. Cubs were 5-2 lead going to the ninth. Bullpen's been an issue. So it's 5-4. It's going to hit me a little bit that it was weird. And even from an emotional standpoint, usually I would have been pretty into that, right? It's 5-4. Royals have the tying run at third, two outs. And this is Bubba Starling, former two sports star.
Mm-hmm.
Bubba Starling's at the plate against Ryan, the Cubs left-handed reliever. And he gets a ground ball, hard hit to Chris Bryant's right. Bryant makes a really nice play, throws him out. Cubs win.
Yeah.
And I thought as that was happening how odd it was, because normally on a night like that, you would see all the fans standing up behind the plate, you know, some of them clapping, some of them biting fingernails, all the stuff, right?
Two outs in the ninth is when you know exactly what yeah. most fans are going to do. You're going to do the clapping or the whole deal, yeah. and you do the deal.
You're up 5-4.
Yeah.
Two outs, two strikes, tying run at third.
We got a little drama.
Everybody can get into that a little bit. And it's kind of quiet. He hits a hard ground ball to third, 102 miles an hour off the bat. Bryant makes a very nice play, throws him out. That's it. ball game.
It's like a scrimmage. It's just kind of over.
It made me think, this is kind of like Legion ball, you know? You play a Legion game at 10:30 in the morning. You know, the last play of the game's ground out to third. Hey, we won. Time to go get water.
Sorry, Tiger did play one. I forgot about him doing that. Yeah, that's right. He played the Memorial. Hopefully the players care a little more than they would during the Legion game. Because talk about something where it does not matter whatsoever. Team gets up four runs in a Legion game. You go, hey, you won this one. We're moving on to the second game of the doubleheader here in a little while.
It's not even a junior varsity baseball game. Because at those games, the fans behind the seats, the fans, you know, sitting around in their lawn chairs and stuff, are parents and stuff. Those games can get a little vocal. There's nobody.
Will Muschamp tells The Athletic that the SEC plans on testing players on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays each week.
Sundays, Wednesdays, Fridays.
So three times a week. I'm not going to overthink this. I'm just going to say okay and whatever. But if you came in contact with it on Saturday, you're not going to be positive by Sunday on a test. You'd be at least Wednesday and maybe Friday.
Yeah, I mean, if you got it on Friday.
And frankly, these tests aren't very reliable right now.
Well, that's part of
the... In both directions.
That's part of the problem. One of the Big Ten demands was that the test under 1%
false... Well, medically...
Yeah, and...
Yeah, that'd be great, guys.
And a lot of the medical people were like, yeah, if you find those, could you let us know kind of how that's... Because we'd like those.
Yeah. I just... I don't know. That's a lot of testing.
It's expensive.
It's a lot of blanket testing.
It's expensive. And I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do, but that's why people are like, what kind of access do you guys think you're going to get? I'm like, dude, come on. Like, they're not letting us in the building without testing, so how does that work? If I come test on Wednesday to cover the game on Saturday, how do you know I didn't get it on Thursday or Friday? Because you can't quarantine the media. And no, I'm not going in a bubble for 3 months.
You good?
You?
No shot. No. And they wouldn't let you even if.
No.
No. That will never be a thing. We don't get four floors in the Lowe's Hotel.
No. Gosh, Kima, that would be... Trying to think who on our beat would actually volunteer for that. 4 months, because it'd be August, September, October, November, and into December.
I mean, I can make some jokes, but I don't know that anybody does. I mean, think about what that really entails.
I don't know.
To get to go to practice? Hang on. So what I get out of this is I get to go stand at practice every
day? Yeah, that's it. And on Zoom calls. Zoom calls.
No.
Don't think you do it.
It's no one.
Suss might do it.
Okay, you're right. Suss might do it.
He might do it.
No offense.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's kind of...
Yeah, I'd be like, come on.
This is a random question, but we're just kind of talking at this point. What odds would I need to give you from a betting standpoint for you to take that Laramie would make the Hall of Fame?
Oh, well, I mean, I think he'll probably make it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So if I give you 10-1, you would take it?
Yeah.
Okay. Bill Barnwell did a story on ESPN today about current players who have Hall of Fame potential.
You worry about injuries, obviously.
Yeah, of course. But he says that there's not a Dolphin with a greater than 10% chance of making the Hall of Fame. He mentions Xavier Howard, and that's it.
Yeah. Tunsil's still with Texans, right?
Oh, that's the wrong team. Shit. I'm sorry. I'll go look in a minute. But okay. Yeah, that struck me while I was reading that. I had it for a Dolphin still. My fault.
Yeah, Rippey's gone, though. He says give it to Rippey. Rippey's out.
Yeah, he's moving soon.
Heading to Texas. He and Joe Rogan. And Jason Whitlock's in Nashville.
Frank Gore, 60-99%. Get that, likely.
Yeah.
Jets. I'm just kind of reading through stuff real quick. Yes, Earl Thomas will be giving Lamar Jackson a 40-69% chance. How you feel about that?
Okay.
Lamar Jackson, Marcus Peters, and Justin Tucker for the Ravens in that ground.
Okay.
I know he's been pretty good for like, but it's been just normal. Mark Ingram has no Hall of Fame chance.
I wouldn't think.
He's 10-40%. That's too high for him, I think.
Yeah, he would have to have a couple of huge seasons and maybe a big Super Bowl or something.
Yeah, anyway. Let me get down.
You're looking for Texans now?
Yeah, Tunzel's not mentioned in the Texans.
Really?
Article. Mm-mm.
Huh.
Yeah. Now I'm just going to the Saints because I'm curious. Then I'll stop.
I like Breeze's chances.
Think he's got a chance. He thinks he's going to be in the good area. This
I like
one.
His chance.
Okay. Washington football team with no logo, by the way, here on our on the Bears, they have Khalil Mack at 70-99%.
Yeah.
Trubisky. Eddie Jackson at 40-69%, and then 10-40%, Jimmy Graham and Kyle Fuller are the
Trubisky's just a sure thing.
Yeah, he's in.
Yeah.
He's there. wasn't even worth talking about.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, likely 70-99% on Matt Ryan.
I'll say this. If Matt Ryan's in, Eli Manning.
He's a first ballot just hanging out.
Eli Manning can go ahead and get fitted for his jacket.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. There's no doubt there.
Ryan does have big numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
For the Saints, Drew Brees, lock 100%.
Yeah.
Says he could have retired 5 years ago and been comfortably in the Hall of Fame.
Probably true.
Likely 70-99% Michael Thomas, the wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
I'll buy that. Yeah. Staying healthy, he's Oof. In.
Stud.
In the running, Kamara, Cameron Jordan, and Marshawn Lattimore, 40-69%.
Yeah.
I'll buy it. And then work to do Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead, two offensive linemen. So, yeah, I have no real issues there with.
It's an interesting exercise.
Yeah, it's a good. It is a very pandemic preseason article that you go through. And
you know what's funny is with the NFL, I've yet to hear a lot of negativity about games, but I haven't heard the kind of positivity either that I thought I would have heard by now.
It's just kind of silent, just kind of business as usual.
Kind of just going to camp.
Move. Yeah.
I mean, I'm giving this away, but on Friday, I tell you what has already started is the conversation about college basketball. Can it be done? What does it look like? What do you do if there are no fans? We're under 100 days.
There's going to be an NCAA basketball tournament.
I think so, too.
There's going to be an NCAA basketball tournament. Just telling you.
Yes, Georgia Rebel Khalil Mack was mentioned as 75-99%.
Yeah, pretty much in.
He's in. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
I like his chances a lot to get in. Yeah, I'll give you the logs here in a second just for the heck of it. We're not doing anything. Let's see. Apple F locks Ben Roethlisberger lock.
Yeah,
has two Super Bowls. His on field performance is no doubt. Now he's got all that character stuff, the off the field stuff, but I still think he's in. JJ Watt lock 100%. Lock Von Miller linebacker Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Lock Patrick Mahomes. Lock. I don't like Locke there. Now, I'm good with 70% or even whatever, but Locke feels really, really strong.
Yeah, like if he retired today, is he a Hall of Famer?
He says, Barnwell says, I addressed this in my MVP column in July. His resume with a league MVP and Super Bowl MVP is usually enough to get a player into the Hall of Fame, let alone doing that over two seasons as a starter. Basically, that those credentials, no matter what else happens, is enough, typically,
okay,
to get it done. That's what he says. Don't know, but whatever.
If you could start an NFL team right now with one player, would he be your player?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm factoring age in and everything, yeah, just, there's no doubt.
One
player. Yeah, I want him. Jason Witten, lock, tight end, Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
Adrian Peterson, lock.
Oh, of course.
Redskins running back. Aaron Rodgers, lock.
Yeah.
Drew Brees, lock. Tom Brady, lock. Larry Fitzgerald, lock.
Yeah, for sure.
Aaron Donald, lock.
Yeah.
That's it. Those are the locks in the league right now.
All right, Brady's chances.
Got a shot there.
Yeah, feels like maybe not the first ballot, but somewhere thereafter.
Yeah. So be back in one second. For that, I'll tell you about injured but not sure where to go. No matter where you are, Special Orthopedic Group has you covered with three convenient locations in Tupelo, Oxford, and New Albany. No referral is needed to schedule an appointment. One of SOG's fellowship-trained subspecialized surgeons at any of the locations with 24-hour scheduling. SOG makes it easy to accommodate you. Call 767-4200 or request an appointment on their website at www.sogms.com. Special Orthopedic Group, choose a specialist, choose SOG.
The folks over at Blue Delta Jeans are excited to announce that the field for the second annual Delta Cup tournament at Mossy Oak Golf Club on Friday, October the 16th, has officially been filled. And due to popular demand, Blue Delta Jeans has added a second field for Sunday, October the 18th. This second field offers the same great perks as Friday, all cart and green fees, food and drink on the course, long distance and closest to the pin competitions, and a brand new pair of Blue Delta jeans for every golfer. If you're interested in participating, please email Tyler at BlueDeltaJeans.com for more information and get your team signed up. Blue Delta wants to thank everyone who has signed up so far, and they can't wait to see everyone on the course. We're also brought to you by Dead Soxy. It's summertime, warm out there. Dead Soxy can take care of you with their new line of Dead Soxy no-shows. 9 new styles to choose from. You can find the style that fits your occasion. I said the other day, they're game changers because I don't like going barefoot under my shoes, and I don't like the socks sticking up, and the no-shows work. They're great. They keep your feet cool. They look stylish, and for me, absolute game changer. They'll be for you, too. But if you haven't tried them, now's the time. Use promo code REBELGROVE at checkout. You get 30% off the best dress socks you'll ever put on. They also have several bundle packs currently on sale, and you can use your promo code in addition to these already deeply discounted prices. DeadSoxy.com. Make your day a soxy one. We're also brought to you by the Iron Horse Grill. It is a perfect place to enjoy lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. 320 East Pearl Street in Jackson. It's the largest outdoor patio in Jackson, right there on the Illinois Central Railroad. You can also check out the Mississippi Music Experience Museum on the second floor of the restaurant. So make the Iron Horse Grill part of your next stop in Jackson.
Let's see. Missouri making a little bit of a change here, saying that even if high schools are online only, they can still choose to have athletic events if they... if they choose to do so. Just seeing that from the Columbia Tribune a second ago. College football playoff stuff has been moved around to accommodate the new schedule. I mean, duh. But it's official at the moment.
Are we feeling there will be a playoff if we get a season?
There will be a playoff, yeah. I mean, I think there's a playoff. I would be shocked if there are more than a few other bowl games beyond that, if any. But I think there's a playoff, right?
I don't know. Not sure. NCAA was pretty weird about that today. Kicked it down the road a little.
Gave it to a whole different committee.
Yeah, and said, you all are responsible.
Yeah, kicked it down the committee even. Now they're safe on having some sort of, you know, that's the thing too with football. That's not an NCAA championship event, so they don't fall under the same jurisdiction as basically any other sport would at that point.
Don't you think Corey has a point in the thread here?
What's that?
He says you can play contact sports, but can't sit in a distance classroom.
Well, look, that's true.
I mean, he got a valid point here. It's like people can say you can't stand up in a restaurant, but you can sit down. I'm always like, wait, what? What does that mean?
Yeah, you're cool as long as you're not sitting there. I mean, you're fine not worrying about all of it as long as you're eating and spitting on one another.
6 feet apart, but 7's better. Where'd that come from?
Scientific.
Okay.
I had something up a second ago. Hold on. Did you have something?
No.
Okay. Let's see what I have. Yeah, I was looking through some different different rules. I mean, from a sports standpoint, as long as 50% of eligible teams don't cancel their season, they can be NCAA championships in whatever sport we're talking about.
Okay.
So that's something for basketball. I mean, as long as there's not some mass chaos. Now, the small schools have to play. I mean, I do think that's where that is relevant on that's all Division I schools. So you can't have a bunch of smaller leagues go, hey, we don't feel comfortable playing college basketball. Now, there could be amendments and different things, but as of today – they're saying, yeah, it's 50% threshold to host championships.
Got me thinking about it. Was, you know, Ole Miss announced that they're playing LaSalle in the first round of the
saw that
NCAA, not the NCAA they wished.
The Cayman Classic thing.
Yeah, which is in Niceville, Florida.
Yeah. Is it Niceville or Niceville? Is it Niceville?
I don't know. Whichever way it is, it's not the Caymans. Kind of made me think about it. Like, what are the odds of that game being played without fans? No fans. And I'm still back to we jumped around, which is my fault today. What's a Maryland football game look like on television with no fans? In week three.
And everybody else has some semblance of fans?
No, just Maryland came to mind. Because here's what we always do with college football. Like, oh, man, I'd watch LSU, Alabama anywhere, anytime. Okay. Would you watch Vanderbilt, Mississippi State anywhere, anytime? Because that game's got to get played too. What's that look like in Scott Field, no fans?
I get the players are better. I would even argue that the environment makes you think that the difference in talent is greater than it is. You know what I mean? I think a lot of these games, the environments and the fan participations and the pageantry and the drama and all that stuff plays into even how you think you are seeing the play on the field.
I do too.
From a talent standpoint, from a competitive standpoint.
I do too. So I wonder if you get into week three when the novelty has worn off and now you're just getting games. You know, Iowa, Indiana. You watching that? No fans, no bands. No nothing.
And I don't think they're going to be bands. I just really don't.
I don't either. Because that's people blowing air into instruments.
Yeah, I really don't. There's a certain emotional connection to college football that gives it a chance. But I think that's going to be, at most, inside your respective league.
All right.
You see what I'm saying? Yep. Like, so SEC fan might do the state Vanderbilt. They're going to be a lot more hard-pressed to do Illinois-Purdue.
Okay, next question.
Sure.
When the players want to do social justice statements, and they do, how does that get received? Now you're back into your golf conversation.
It will be a difficult.
Because golf guy's just showing up, and he's wearing his Titleist hat, and he's got his Bank of America shirt on.
Yeah.
And he's got his pants and his Nikes on, and got his glove on, and he lines up and hits the ball and walk on down the fairway to the next hit.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, fine, it's golf. You know, learn to watch a few players, and different guys can hit it a mile and whatever. But they're not doing all that stuff.
No, golf looks like golf right now.
If Bryson DeChambeau.
There you go.
Before the first tee on television, does some sort of a political statement. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
Golf is also the one sport that would be most impacted by that because they don't have a lot of 18 to 49 viewers. It's older people typically. It's.
I mean, a lot of college football viewership is older.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I think it would play into it very similarly. I do.
I just kind of wonder where all this goes from a television product. Because ESPN's getting smoked right now. They're losing money left and right. But ESPN is really motivated by the social justice stuff. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but they are. And so if it happens, it's going to be a big part of the storyline in the broadcast of a college football game. And I just kind of wonder what that means for ratings in week three.
And I'm wondering, you wonder from a straight college football what kind of priority that's put on the television networks. You know, is ESPN really going, hey, let's run with this, knowing some of our audience and different things? I don't know the answer to that.
I'd love to know.
Because the PGA Tour has gone out of their way to avoid it.
Yes.
Like I said, they had a tournament in Minneapolis, and it was not...
And from a rating standpoint, it appears to be paying off.
Yeah, I mean...
The NBA is not getting away from it.
Yeah.
And from a rating standpoint, it's hurting them.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some really good basketball games played.
Yeah.
Like Thunder Nuggets the other day was a really good basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the ratings were, and I don't know whether the ratings are bad because people, it's not what they're used to watching. I don't know if the ratings are different because of the social justice stuff. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. People are out there. People are stressed. When people are stressed, a lot of times you just don't want to watch anything.
Sure.
So I don't know what it is. Week one of the college football season, if we have one, the ratings will be really good. I just wonder what they have to do to keep those ratings good. If you don't have fans in the stands and it doesn't sound like what you're used to and it doesn't look like what you're used to, do you keep coming back?
Right. I don't know. I think there is a limit to that. I don't know what that limit is. I think you can do better than a lot of sports, but yeah, I don't think it's all the way across. So anyway, we hope we have a schedule. The next time we are with you, we'll let you know time. We'll let you know what's going on. So stay with rebelgrove.com. In the meantime, plenty of threads over there about a number of topics. So go hang out. We'd love to have you. You can do it for less than $10 a month for an annual sub. So appreciate everybody in the live stream today. And we'll be back with you very, very soon. Thanks.